Answer: the director took his breaks in the viewing room she had noticed on the outside. She glanced at her watch. It was early for a break, unless, as she suspected, Cocker's inverted the times devoted to work and leisure. A passing technician, frail and featureless as an elf, bare-chested and wearing a tool belt over his strong, told her the lounge was at the end of Red Fruit Lane and pointed to a bush growing along the side of the corridor. Bridget Bond thanked him, and he nodded vaguely, plucking a red fruit to eat as he sauntered off. She wondered if he was on his way to repair something, and how long that repair would await his arrival. The red fruits wound through the 17th floor, intersecting at times with other winding paths marked by other bushes. There were no walls, but occasionally there were lines of shrubs or trees or rivulets crossed by short footbridges, each evidently intended to mark the boundary of a room. Not one was straight. There might not be a right angle in the entire building. She did see individuals working at screens and chatting casually to hologram images. It could not all be personal activity, could it? Somehow, cross-stellar and in-system traffic on the junction was choreographed. Somehow, lighters and bumboats were lifted and landed. Someone out there must be working. Eventually, curiosity or surrender overcame her, and she plucked a red fruit for herself. Its skin was soft and plump, and the texture, when she had bitten into it, crispy. The taste was succulent and sweet, suggesting both apple and cherry in its ancestry. She had to remind herself that she was inside a large building, and the grooves through which she wound were only clever artifacts. The lounge was entirely transparent, even the floors and furniture. In effect, one seemed to be walking in midair, and Bridget Bond could see past her boots the traffic far below. Only the people and a few other objects, brightly patterned cushions and the like, were stubbornly opaque. Directly ahead, Polychrome Mountain had been artfully framed between two other high towers, so that it appeared larger and closer than it actually was. She wondered if the Cockers had erected those two buildings precisely to achieve that effect. Bridget Bond wore a green and gold coverall with the blue facings and collar pips of the particular service. Above her left breast were discreetly pinned two of the 12 decorations to which she was entitled, the Grand Star and the Badge of Knight. The kennel called it undress uniform, but she thought herself the most completely dressed person in the lounge, perhaps in the entire building. Some Cockers, she saw, carried casualness of dress to its logical and ultimate conclusion. A few inquiries eventually led her to the director. She had wondered from the name whether Kanmi Puloweo was male or female, and after having been introduced, continued to wonder. Most of the human race was bimodally distributed, but the pioneers of Peacock had achieved the bell-shaped curve, with most inhabitants clustered around a sort of genderless mean, and rather fewer out near the masculine and feminine extremes. Puloweo might have been a fine-featured man or a boyish woman. Large liquid eyes set in an androgynous face gave no clue. There was one way to be certain, and judging by what she had seen so far, not a way entirely out of the question, but she was struck by the disturbing notion that lifting the director's strong would not lift the uncertainty. Tentatively, she designated Puloweo as she, and firmly fixed that pronoun in mind. The director called for tea. On Peacock, that was a foregone conclusion. The variegated flavors and fragrances unique to Polychrome Mountain constituted the planet's primary export, and drinking it was an act of patriotism. Puloweo had preceded her order by a slight cough, by which Bridget Bond concluded that she was headwired, and the cough was how she activated the link. While they waited, the elf regarded the hound with a smile bordering on amusement and studied her with palpable interest. "Zo," she said through near motionless lips, "was the hound doing here?" The Peacock dialect ran words together and softened its consonants. Indeed, a common joke in the League was that on Peacock, the use of a consonant was subject to a heavy fine. Lazy speech for lazy lips, thought Bridget Bond. Her implant sharpened the phonemes to galactic standard. So, what's a hound doing here? The director had asked. In answer, she produced her credentials. By ancient tradition, a golden badge of metallo-ceramic that glowed when held by its rightful bearer. I'm investigating the battle that took place here recently. It was more than that, of course. The Phantom Fleet had taken something from the pirates, a pre-human artifact of great value and possibly greater power. But such secrets were best close held, lest they pique greed and ambition. The director barely glanced at the badge. Oh, that, she said. No battle. Battle needs two sides. Ambushers caltropped the exit ramp and swissed whatever ships came out next. Good luck they caught a pirate fleet with top booty and their shields down. Nuisance. Aye, such lawlessness, but the director had not been concerned about lawlessness. Clean up the mess, she complained. Sweepers still out there. Sent Swifties down the Silk Road with warnings. Placed marker buoys. Duchess of Dragomar took damage coming off next day. Didn't want more ships running into shards, bad for tourism. As she spoke, she muttered under her breath, annoying the hound. Bridget Bond tried to make out what she was saying, but the sub-vocalization was too slight. Irritated, she said, "And have ye identified the combatants?" Pirates were from Cynthia, barbarians coming back heavy from somewhere. From New Aaron, we know about them. The survivors reached Sapphire Point while I was there. So, heavy with loot from this New Aaron place. Lost their vanguard on the caltrops, other ships jittered. Two skated off in hyperbolic. One braked into elliptical, saw Cherenkov flashes. So some ships reached the high seas. That's the letter C, speed of light, the high seas. But missed the channel and grounded in the mud. And those who escaped down the Silk Road had been destroyed by Furley's border squadron. That was the italicized thought. And what about the ambushing fleet? The director held a palm out. One sec. Then she closed her eyes. No, 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 darlings. Move Atreus 917 to Highcock orbit. Lowcock ICC 3291. First come. Do not, repeat not, land lighters from Chetanod Voyager. Because Heart of Oak is still on the designated landing grid, that's why. Where, and this was said with deadly sweetness, are the tugs? A pause. I don't care. King Peter is off the active field. Heart of Oak is still on it. I can't land Chetanod Voyager with the field cluttered up that way. Pulaweo sighed, rolled her eyes in mute appeal to beings unseen, and smiled at Bridget Bond. Sorry, new controller. Needed full attention. She stretched her arms over her head and arched her back. Ah, here's the tea. I asked for Winterfell, a very nice blend with a spicy aroma and an aftertaste of clove. The server who brought the tea on an elaborately chased silver platter was refreshingly thick-limbed and hairy. He poured a stream of iridescent tea into cups of near-transparent china, painted on the outside with a colorful hunting scene from ancient times, an elderly guide pointing into the distance, and a quartet of men in hip boots carrying double-barreled pellet guns. In the background, a flock of aboriginal ducks arched like a feathered bridge into the sky. On the other side, the cup bore a painting of a duck in flight, rendered in subtle colors. It was bleeding from a dozen wounds, and despair had been imposed somehow on its immobile features. The shimmering tea swirling behind the translucent ceramic gave it the illusion of desperate motion. Pulaweo handed her the cup, contriving to touch hands as she did. Bridget Bond took it and waited to see what all this portended. You're paraperceptic, she said. The director seemed disappointed in the response. Oh, yes, only duplex, I fear. Half my brain, the logical calculating half, I hope, she giggled, is overseeing space traffic controls. The other half, well, here I am. Do you like the teacups? Bridget Bond thought there was also an element of calculation in the half-brain she was facing, but she said nothing. You painted these cups yourself, she guessed. Pulaweo waved a hand. Oh, it's nothing, just a hobby. You should see our export ware. But I'm such a silly. You are asking about the bushers. They matched trajectories with one of the treasure ships, and wasn't that a pretty piece of work in High V? I know what they did. I'm trying to find out who they were. A